Dude, we're on. Ryan, we're on again here. It's Grey Rock. This is where we are. It's a Grey Rock podcast. And we're about making, creating razor sharp consumers. And then giving them the best experience they've ever had. That is a true statement. So we're passionate about that. So today, we're going to talk about selling your home. The process. What goes on in the process? I can't wait to talk about this with you.
Let's do it. From the beginning to end. I don't know. We're going to try to condense it a little bit. Obviously, there's a ton to talk about, but let's kind of break it down into preparing the home for sale.
Okay.
Which is repairs, staging, and then going on the market, selecting an offer. And then maybe we should hit on appraisal too.
That's so important.
Those are kind of a couple of the key points. Yeah. So as far as preparing the home for sale, I think, our clients are in a lot of different situations. And so it's important to know that, if you don't want to do anything, you don't have to do anything, right? You can put your home on the market in any condition. And sometimes our clients are like, I need you to sell this tomorrow. And I need you to get it on the market right now. And I don't want to hear your recommendations. I don't want staging. I want you to do as best as you can in the next week to get this property on the market. So work with that. But the majority of our clients are in a situation where they're coming to us, well in advance, and they're wanting to know what to do. And so, and a big part of that is repairs, renovations. I think a lot of people are should I, my kitchen needs to be remodeled. So what should I do?
Yeah, that's a big one, right? I mean, and so I put new countertops in right now?
Yeah, I mean, and you could go down the rabbit hole of you could do a complete renovation on your house. And so I always tell people no, you don't, and this is a tough concept for people because people think, well, I watch HGTV, I watch house flippers, people do these renovations on these homes and they get a lot more money. And of course, you are going to increase the value of your property if you renovate, if you do whatever, project. But, and some people are really handy and they can go to Home Depot and buy, some tile and some backer board and some grout and a couple fixtures, and they can renovate a bathroom for a few $100. Okay, we're not talking about those people. That's an exception to the rule.
Right.
That's sweat equity, and there are people out there that are really good at doing that, and they can, and it makes sense for them potentially to do some projects to the house before they put it on the market. But most of our clients aren't that way. If they're going to do a big project, they're probably going to hire it out. Those are the kind of things we talk through. Are you going to do it yourself? Do you have time to do it? Is this going to be something you got to stay up in the middle of the night after your kids go down and try to do this renovation? And how much return are you really going to get from it? You can Google articles on the internet and see what percentage of a kitchen remodel will I get back when I sell my house, or a bathroom remodel. And of course, it's hard to quantify that stuff.
Right.
And it's probably a lot of that's kind of BS. But at the end of the day, you will be shocked at how little you get back out of the money that you put in when you're paying a contractor retail rates. And so I think what people have to understand is it's not like you don't do anything, right? But you don't want to start a big remodel project. You might get the money that you put into it back out. You might get all of it. Maybe those articles are wrong. You get 100% of that money back. But I think in the majority of the cases, even if you're breaking even, why would you go through the brain damage of doing something if you're just breaking even on, why would you hire this contractor and make your house look beautiful when you're about to sell it? So, and a lot of clients come to us and say, should I renovate, or they're not thinking of selling at all, but they're thinking, what repairs should I do? What's going to add the most value? And of course, you talk them through, give them all kinds of recommendations. But at the end of the day, I think what my clients are looking for from me is for me to tell them, if you spend $50,000 on this kitchen, you will then have $100,000 more of home value in your house. And that's just not the case. Mm-mm. It doesn't work like that.
No.
So I wish I could tell them that, but.
What are the things that you've seen? I mean, I've definitely seen some in the process of doing this, of what's important to tackle and what would be, we just talked about maybe like what would be more risky and may not give the return.
Yeah.
But what are good things to be like?
Yeah, I mean, repairs. You know, when you have like glaring issues, you know, if I walk through a house and something really sticks out at me, I want to address it, you right. know? And that's really my litmus, because my litmus test for like what to do is, if it really catches my eye, if the showing experience really suffers because of a particular, and yeah, that could be stained carpet, it could be like, you know, just something that's really odd about the house. You know, when you've been doing this for many years and you've walked through a whole bunch of homes with different buyers, you'll see that like when something's odd about a house, they really get hung up on it,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so we try to kind of minimize the like strangeness of something.
Oddities.
Yeah. And a lot of times that will be like, you know, it could be flooring. It could be, you know, a variety of different things that might be addressed. Sometimes, you know, landscaping can be terrible. Like sometimes you can go out into a backyard and it's just mud.
Yeah.
So spending like $2,000 on sod could be like huge. That could be like a game changing yeah. investment. Or if you walk outside and the paint is like peeling, or if there's like damaged sheetrock, or if the house smells, like there's smell can really take a house down tens of thousands of dollars. I mean, if you got like cigarette smoke in a house, you want to go like full send on trying to get those odors out. Yeah. Or like pet odors, huge. You know, having carpets cleaned, having ducts cleaned, taking the pets out of the house, you know, mm-hmm. if you possibly can. But again, like sometimes my clients are like, look, I have a dog and like my house smells like my dog, and mm-hmm. I'm not sending my dog to like a boarding facility to try to like, you know, right. So you got to work with people, and we give recommendations, but sometimes people are just like,
no, thank you.
Sell my house.
Yeah. And you know, I think another area that's probably important for fixes are those areas that could, cause problems with like a FHA loan or a VA loan yep. or something like that. Like, you know, we just had a listing where they didn't have flooring in one of the rooms, and it was the subfloor was showing, and it was like, that definitely needs to get fixed. Right.
Yeah. Cause the house wouldn't appraise. Right. So
not without a second.
I don't know. Do you remember what they spent on that?
That flooring may have been, $800-900. It wasn't bad.
Probably like 12x14 foot room.
Yeah. It wasn't bad.
And so the property, like, you can either address that now or like 3 weeks into escrow when the appraiser walks through and then says, you need to do this in order for us to appraise this house for the contract price. Like you might as well do it in advance so that it looks nice when buyers walk through.
Yeah.
So you get the benefit of that.
But there are things renovation. Like that. I mean, sometimes with like a back deck and it's completely chipped up, or, you know, maybe there are, because the FHA and some of these other ones, or VA, they don't like chip paint. I mean, yeah, there may weird. Be like a continuum, you know, like a on it, but.
Right. FHA insured mortgages are weird about peeling paint.
Yeah.
They hate it.
Yeah. And so if you want as many buyers as you can that are possibly look at it and could buy your house.
Yeah.
You just want to make sure you're on top of that. So that's one of the things we try to help.
Another nice thing to do is if you know that there's been a hailstorm and you haven't had an adjuster out to look at the house, or mm-hmm. even if you haven't had somebody inspect your roof in a long time, it's not a bad idea to try to get, because it will be found on the inspection. And there's many times when a roof is flagged on inspection for hail and we're far enough into the escrow that we can't get the roof fixed mm-hmm. and get the deal closed in the same amount of time.
Right.
And you can't get a roof, you know, fixed after closing. It's difficult to do. You have to put money in escrow. But that's very sticky. Like lenders don't like to do that. It's very hard to pull money out of a transaction. And so lenders really, really need to see that the repairs are done in order for a house to close, unless it's like something small. But for something like a roof, it's important to kind of address it early on. And that way, like, you can spend $1,000 on your deductible and potentially get a new roof.
You know, on the buy side, we say, hey, check your sewer line. And how often do you suggest sellers to, hey, you might want to check your sewer line and maybe get it razored, get it, cleaned out?
That's a good point.
It's an extra expense, but...
So here's the scenario. You're selling your home. You probably have an older home in this scenario, and the buyer comes out and he says, okay, I'm going to scope your sewer. So I'm going to run a camera on a cable down through the sewer line. And many, many times we run into a situation on an older home where the camera runs into a wall of roots.
So it's a really bad situation.
It doesn't make the buyer feel good.
Yeah.
And
especially when he's like jamming the camera through, trying to get it right through that one root.
And for like $95, you could have had a plumber. And you know, sometimes my sellers, like, they don't want to know, right? They're like,
ignorance is bliss.
I don't want to have like a pre-inspection, dig all the stuff up. I don't want to have it, but you don't have to have it camera. You can just have the blade go down, clean the roots out, get it nice and clean. And that way when the buyer comes through and does their camera job, it looks nice and clean.
Yeah.
And so
it's
$95, good. Very well spent.
It's well spent.
$140, whatever it is.
Yeah. But you know, ignorance is bliss until inspection.
Until your buyer's like, hey, we ran into a wall of roots.
Yeah, and that's $8,000. So in that kind of, you know, prepping, you know, for the listing and the kind of pre-listing.
Yeah.
You know, it's like some of the items we got to fix up maybe, possibly.
Yeah, and so I think a lot of our clients come to us and they're like, hey, what do we do? So we're like, okay, here's what we think you should do. Here's what you should overlook, you know? And we are, there's a lot of stuff that we'll tell you to overlook because we're in this to make you as much money as possible, not to like make you a punch list of a bunch of crap you gotta do. And so, but for the things that we do recommend, you know, many of our clients are like, oh, okay, like who do I hire, you know? A lot of it's little ticky-tack stuff.
Right.
And handymen, good handymen, are hard to find. And we have good handymen, and this is kind of like a weird thing, but I won't tell anybody who my handymen are. Because they're so... I mean, we'll tell our clients, obviously, but like...
We don't want anybody else to know. No, because... They're already...
It feels terrible when I say that out loud.
Well,
but I'm very protective of my handymen.
But they're already like usually on big projects that are 3 months long and we're trying to pull them away for an hour. And can you fix the, or 5 hours or whatever, can you fix these things? And we just need to, like, we have to protect them because we need them to help our clients.
And if you ask other agents for handyman referrals, they'll be like,
yeah, I don't know.
Everybody's got like a little guy and they'll be like,
yeah.
Like if I tell you about this guy who can just like come over and like knock out a punch list for, you know, a few $100 like in an evening, you can't tell anybody about it.
Right.
So anyway, so you get access to that kind of stuff. And we really do, you know, on our last listing on Circle, like you did everything for those people. Like,
yeah,
we just kind of
project managed it out.
We project managed.
Yeah, we did.
I mean, that's, at the end of the day, that's the best way to think about what a realtor does for you.
Mm-hmm.
Is they're like a project manager for every step of the way.
We're just trying to push the ball, just kind of keep it going and get to that point where they can get this online live on every platform for selling their home, you know, Zillow, the MLS, you know, realtor.com. And man, when you get it to that point, it's super exciting because now, you know, we're doing that. But yeah, project managing, getting those pieces done. Now, like on that note, and maybe if you want to say more about that, I was just going to say also kind of like the idea of kind of giving suggestions on what makes the house show well. If they're already living there, what does it look like to, you know, take some items out to kind of open it up so they can, you know, we don't ever want to like offend people with, because they love their furniture. You love your furniture, but maybe there's some things you want to, speak to that a little bit.
Yeah. So I always tell people, as far as obviously there's a number of different kinds of staging, you know, so let's break it up into two groups. There's staging when somebody's living in a home, and there's staging when the home is vacant. We bring in furniture.
Right.
And we do it both ways. And, a lot of agents, in my opinion, are way too worried about offending their clients and are way too worried about telling them to make changes to the house. Mm-hmm. And if you want to be a good agent and you want to kill it for your clients, a lot of times there's some little stuff that can be done to a house, removing furniture, you know, it could be painting. And again, like some people are willing to do this stuff and some people are not, but if your client has like furniture that just does not work in a room, or they have usually it's an enormous amount of stuff. So I always tell folks like, look, everybody, you know, we're Americans. We have a lot of stuff that we put into our homes, mm-hmm. and like not everybody lives in a model home. You know, some people do, but, we need your home to look like a model. We need you to live in your home for the next month in a way that's, we know is impossible. And, you know, if you want to go all out and make your home look as beautiful as it possibly can, that usually means minimizing furniture. And it may or may not be like adding, removing furniture. It's almost always decluttering. Sometimes it's painting. But working through that, so many agents are worried about offending their clients. So they'll walk through and be like, yeah, this looks great. You know, this like giant moose head in the living room is fine. Like it's Colorado. You can, you know, we don't, you know, you can have like taxidermy in your house. And like, I just like to be very forthcoming with folks, and some agents will bring in like a stager just to have that conversation with their clients, because they don't want to be the bad guy that says like, you know, this piece of furniture is terrible, or you have so much stuff in this house that nobody can walk around, or your house smells like, you know, there's pet odor in the house and we need to address that. And you're just not doing your clients any favors because they're going to put the house on the market and you're going to get this feedback and it's going to affect the value of the house. And you needed to tell them about that. So having those candid conversations is something that early in my career I couldn't do. And now I'm just like, look, guys, like, look, everybody knows we all kind of like live in a house in a certain, like you come over to my house right now, it's super messy. There's crap everywhere. Like,
yeah.
So I'm not coming down on you for this, but like, if you guys want to do the work to get this house show ready, so we got to do.
And I mean, and you probably said that, but it's like, man, the better it shows, the better showing experience, a buyer has when they walk in, that first impression to the last impression.
Yeah.
I mean, the more convinced that they want to pay, not just a list, but maybe even compete for it. And
yeah, it's huge.
The value of that.
I mean, you're just adding, you know, even the furniture arrangement and decluttering can really add, you know, huge amounts of value to a house. It's difficult to quantify, but it's, you're going to have to move out of your house anyway. That's why I always tell people is just start, let's start moving out right now. Because you're going to do it in 45 days anyway. So might as well start now, move the clutter out, super minimize. Everybody's walked through a model home. They know that it looks like, you know, pretty bare bones.
Yeah.
You know, I don't like anything on countertops. I'm not a big stickler on like pictures of family. You know, some agents will tell you people need to be able to envision themselves in a home. I actually think that people, you know, like to walk through a home that's been lived in. You know, I think it's very interesting to see clients walk through homes that have been flipped and where there's nothing personal. It's all like gray and white. It's very stark. And a home that maybe isn't like super dialed in as far as like stylistically, but it feels like a house has been loved. And there's, you know, there's pictures of the family on the wall. And those homes, you know, people go crazy over those homes. Even if like it's not all like fancy subway tile and quartz and anyway,
so prepping for that, for the listing to go live, some other thoughts or on that portion
of... I think we covered that pretty well. So let's jump into like going live, showing instructions, like what's your schedule, there's a lot of different kind of philosophies behind, whether or not you want to have 24-hour notice or 2-hour notice or no notice at all. Obviously for a vacant, homes, they'll, let people go in anytime. That's something that actually we should probably rewind on and hit the vacant part of the home staging real quick, because there's probably not anything we do that adds more value to our home sellers than staging vacant homes. And, I used to tell people like, okay, here's the staging company and like, let's bring them in and they can tell you about the price of the staging and what they're going to do, what kind of furniture they're going to bring in. And my clients just usually didn't choose to pay the money to stage. But I knew that they should have. And I knew that I talk about things not having a big ROI, like a big return on investment, like the repairs that you do in your home.
Remodel the kitchen immediately.
Doesn't have a big ROI. Right. In fact, it might actually cost you money or break even. But one thing that has a spectacular ROI, and I mean like 10x, 20x, it's hard to quantify again, but is bringing in designer furniture to a vacant home. I mean, you cannot believe, and I've even caught myself, like we priced a home a few months ago, first met the clients there, it was vacant, we walked through, we priced it for them, we kind of went back, they didn't like the price that we gave them, we went back and forth on price a little bit, and then, but we, part of our services now is we stage the home at our cost. Like our clients don't pay for staging. And so we bring in all the furniture, we hire the designer. And so our vacant properties are transformed into these amazing, like, homes that feel like a model home. They feel like it's been designed, by somebody that knows what they're doing. And those kind of homes, and you walk through them, you're like, wow, this is really sharp. So we priced it before we had staged it. And then after the stager went in there, we went back in there and I remember looking at you just like, like we got to put another like 40,000 on this home, you know? And that was, a few thousand dollars worth of staging. Like it wasn't insignificant. It was a pretty big house and we definitely spent some money on it, but
we went all out on that too. I mean, every room was staged. I mean, and it was, I do remember that very well from the day before to the day after staging. And it was, blew my mind. One is that the stager even kind of came in and said, hey, you know what? I'm going to use a couple spaces a little differently than the way that the seller had used it, and kind of changed some thoughts. And it blew my mind. I mean, kind of moved a dinner table into a large living room and kind of broke that space up in the, where the, it's hard to describe it, but where the dining room kind of had been near the kitchen, turned it in kind of like this open space where you sit and talk and chill. It was like a, like a really open kitchen all of a sudden concept, even more than ever. And actually you can watch Ryan's video on staging on this very house, and you'll be blown away by the way it looks. So you have to check that one out. It's on YouTube. Yeah, I won't say really, anything more. I get excited about that one. That was good.
That was really fun. Yeah. So that's, just kind of going back to the point of like, I think it's hard for people to spend the money on staging. And so that's why we just said, look, you don't have to anymore. We're going to spend that money, because we know how valuable it is. And we really want to, provide incredible value to our clients. And we know that it's important, and we know that the return will be there, and that we'll sell the home faster for more money, and ultimately our clients will be happier mm-hmm. with us, so we're going to spend that money. So,
you know, I think one other thing is real important is the videos we put together. Okay, I've done it for my listing, and you've done it for yours, and those videos are more than your normal real estate videos, where they just like fly through the house, give you a drone shot, and, you know, like label it kitchen, label it this. These videos are telling the story of the house, which some people are like, what's that? Where this house sits in the neighborhood with, you speak to it. Yeah. I mean, it's like, what's around, what's yeah. close to it, parks or this or that, kind of telling its story.
Yeah. You know, I think when you look at traditional real estate marketing, you see still photos and you see a brief description of the house. And the way that people consume media nowadays is like, you know, video is king, you know, and the cool thing about video is it allows us to tell so much about the house and describe, you know, why the homeowner, you know, originally fell in love with the house,
yeah.
why we think it's got a lot of value, describe like specific features about it that just get lost in the traditional, like still photos and, you know, description with words. Like, we're narrating this video.
Yeah.
There's like, you know, a drone's flying through the house or over and above the house. Yeah. It's showing you like the park that's next door. It's showing you the historic district that's next to the house. It's showing you proximity to Rocky Mountain National Park. And when you put all that together mm-hmm. in like 3 minutes worth of video, and there's music and it creates an emotional response.
Yeah.
You know, it's basically like I get to be there, selling that home to the buyer. And most of the time I don't. Like, most of the time the buyer has a buyer's agent who's separate from me, who doesn't know this listing like I do. You know, in the old days, the seller's agent would usually work with both parties. Okay. And so the person that knew the house best would get to sell the house. And now that's not the case. The person that doesn't know anything about the house is walking the buyers through.
Yeah.
So we want to get a chance so that when they're on Zillow and Trulia, like we get like 3-4 minutes with them to say like, in like with beautiful cinematography, here's everything.
Yeah.
And like, you know, the one in Johnstown that we just did, our mm-hmm. seller started crying when she saw it. You know, she was like, video partly just like emotional.
What are we doing?
When you sell your house. Yeah. But her husband was like, I think that video was too good. Like,
that's so good.
She doesn't want to sell it anymore.
Well, the one I did, I remember like back out in this October, and I put it together, and this guy, he doesn't live in Colorado, and he now lives out of state, and that's where he is. And he watched the video, and all he said was, oh, should I really be selling this? And I was like, oh yes, definitely. But after, you know, we had put a little time into it.
Yeah.
But I think it's a great honor when the seller can see it and even see the beauty that they had found the first time that they got it, and just yeah. kind of being able to pass that on to the next person. I mean, you right. had that one up in like Livermore, north of here, and it,
yeah.
I remember the sellers, or who was it? The buyers took the video and passed it to everybody in the family. So yeah. anyway, I'll stop on that. So there it
yeah,
is.
That was a really, really fun thing to see how excited they got, just to say like,
yeah,
you know, we have been so thrilled to like send this to all of our friends and family, because this is a place they're all going to come and visit. It was a vacation home for them, and just a beautiful property in the mountains. And so just generating that kind of buzz is like, you know, that's sort of the ace in the hole, you know,
yeah.
I think. And it's, you know, it's one thing, you know, I think we've talked about this before, people like, you can definitely sell your home yourself, you know, in this market. A lot of people say, well, I can, you know, and I'm like, yes, of course you can, 100%. Like, you could put it on Zillow and, you know, you will sell that house eventually. And I think the question is like, how much work are you doing, and how much time are you investing and how much money are you getting and how long are you sitting on the market? Because that's ultimately our job, is to make the commission that you pay us have a return on that investment. And then simultaneously, you don't have to do anything. Like, you don't have to do the repairs. You don't have to do the paperwork. You don't have to do the showings. You don't have to do the marketing. And, you know, we know, like, you don't do that for a living like we do. So you're not, even if you can, you know, kind of get it done and get it sold, like, I mean, I hate to say it, but it's not going to be of the same quality. You're not going to get the home staging. And ultimately, like, I want to be able to sell your house for more than you can sell it for yourself,
mm-hmm.
and have you do zero work in the process other than like getting on DocuSign and clicking buttons and signing contracts.
Disclosures and everything. Yeah.
Right.
So yeah, in this process, so you're getting it ready, you're getting it right there, you're about to list it, and now it's gone to listing.
Yeah. So, you know, the showings start, you know, and there's a, you know, a pricing philosophy kind of issue that we've had lately with trying to, you know, do we sell the home instantaneously with a bidding war by pricing it low?
Right.
Or are we pushing the price to where we know it should sell, but maybe to a point where we don't get the same kind of bidding war going that we might have? And this was a beautiful illustration to this was... a property that we sold or that we have under contract right now, where it was a newer construction neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And so there was more than one of this model in that neighborhood. And while we were on the market, and my clients, they weren't desperate to sell. They knew what they had. They knew it was an in-demand property, had an RV garage, beautiful, you know, 2-year-old home. And, you know, there was new construction all around it selling for, you know, higher than they were asking. And so we were pretty clear on our price, even though it had appreciated like massive, it had appreciated about 25% per year for the last 2 years. So we were asking about, for about a 50% return. But you know, that was the value of the property. And while we were on the market, we were on the market for 2 weeks. We got, you know, a bunch of showings. We got some people that were, you know, interested, but we got some feedback that the price was too high. But we knew we were priced at a premium, but we were confident that the right buyer would come along and that, you know, we knew you could not replicate that house at that price.
Right.
So simultaneously, another house down the street, around the corner, comes on the market. It's the same house, like literally the same house, except a couple different things. Our RV garage, the opening was a little bit bigger, like some technicality things that you wouldn't know unless you
had, you know, a tape intimately measure familiar. Or a laser measurer or something, yeah.
But it was priced, $75,000 under where ours was.
Yeah.
And we just, it was like a gut punch, you know, and I called the agent and I'm like, what's going on? Like, what are you doing? And she said, well, she said, I got 8 offers in 24 hours and it got bid up, you know, $40,000. And so I got an appraisal waiver. She really wanted an appraisal waiver, which means, the buyer agreed to buy the property at the contract price, even if it appraised too low. And she told me the price that they got for the bid after the dust had settled from the bidding war. And I said, you're still like leaving so much money on the table.
Leaving cash on the table.
So this is a difference in philosophy. Me and my clients wanted to price ours high. She wanted to price hers low. And so as all the dust settled, like, we were on the market for 2 weeks. She was on the market for 2 days. You know, we ultimately went under contract for $22,000 over what she did. And so I think most people would be on the market for a couple weeks for a $22,000 increase in price.
Oh, absolutely.
And so that's what we need to work through with our clients is like, what are your goals? Yeah. Do you want, and my clients were out of town, so they didn't care. It wasn't like they had to clean the house every time and go through the showings. For some people, 2 weeks on the market, or God forbid, 2 months on the mark for some people is, it's a lot. You know, if you're getting shown multiple times a week and you got a family, like that's, it's taxing. Especially when you're hearing all the stories about the bidding wars and you're like, right. I want, you know, to get that bidding war going. And so we just have to like work through your goals, and you have to understand that the bidding wars don't happen in every case. Those are the ones you hear about. Those are the ones where people priced low and, you know, they did get that bidding war going, but it's not necessarily always the way to maximize the amount of money you get for your house.
No, that's good. Like, yeah, trying to even explain that to the sellers. Which approach you're going to take? What kind of speed?
It will do it. What do we want
to do? We know that there's just different philosophies and different approaches and different outcomes. And so part of the coaching process with clients.
Yeah, and ultimately letting them drive, you know, we tell them, like, we give them all the stories anecdotally and they make the decision. And again, some people, like, they're like, yeah, let's get it done in like 3 days. Other people are like, this is my price. And if we don't get that price, I'm not going to sell.
But, you know, and I think in the end, what's interesting is that there will be a buyer that's going to walk through and wants to buy it. And on one side, if you do take the approach where like, we're going to try to go for multiple bidding wars, there is risk in that because you may not get the multiple that you're thinking, and then you get the price that you've asked for. So it's just, we're just trying to strike a balance and make sure that we're understanding you as a seller and just try to give the best advice ever. So,
yeah. Well, I think we cover, I mean, there's more we could talk about.
We could totally talk more about
selling. Another segment, but that was good.
That's good. So there it is. Just the prep, setting the price and then getting the showings going. And then, you know, we'll do a part two of this. And just talk about maybe like all the surprises that can come.
Yeah, and how to choose an offer. Exactly. You know,
choosing an offer
is an art form in and of itself, and that'd be a fun topic.
And then getting through some of the negotiations of navigating that is not easy. But anyway, dude, Gray Rock Podcast, we're keeping this rolling, trying to keep everybody informed on everything possible real estate. So your experience is incredible, and you're razor sharp. I love it.
Thanks, buddy. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Yeah,
see ya.
Thank you.